Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition for the last 30 years.
It's Rosie on the House.
And a beautiful, wet Arizona. Good morning to you all. It's more than just being beautiful today. It's also the time in which we live in. If you were waking up this February morning in 1857, you might catch a glimpse of old High Jolly and his camel train arriving in Arizona to try and establish the first wagon road from Arizona to the West Coast. But he was not the first one to try and introduce camels to Arizona. A year earlier, Jefferson Davis had ordered a bunch of camels to use as military supply transports to get over into California. And that lasted until the Civil War broke out, and the camels that were at Fort Verde were turned out to graze and just kind of meandered off.
Found other places? You'd think they would love the desert, wouldn't you?
I am quite thankful to be in a time where I can get in an F-150 if I need to get over to California and not have to hop on a camel.
Especially a Raptor. That makes it even more fun.
And I've got things today to worry about instead of what am I going to feed my camel. My biggest thing I've got to decide today is, do I go to Sunrise and ski a 58-inch base with 2 feet of new snow this week? Or do I go to Snowball where they've got a 70-inch base? Such decisions to make.
Sunrise.
Get over that. You better start now.
Yeah.
That drive's going to take you a little bit longer.
A little more family friendly.
Family friendly. Couple more mountains to ski. Mm-hmm. You also have the Prado del Sol. The 66th annual Prado del Sol starts today at 10 a.m. Or the 71st Wickenburg Gold Rush. It is such a big deal in Gold Rush. The kids get Fridays off. No school on Friday. Everyone's at Gold Rush.
Getting ready for it. Well, that's awesome.
Our Rosie on the House promotions team is in Tucson today. You can find that event on our website at rosieonthehouse.com for the Bell Extreme Home Makeover 10th Anniversary Tour and Blood Drive. We'll be talking with our Southern Arizona rep, Susan, in the 9 o'clock hour about that. But none of these things made Roger Naylor's 2019 bucket list for Arizona. What am I missing?
Oh, man, you're going to get me in trouble, especially. I love Wickenburg. I'm just about to write a big story about them here, and they just hired me. And now you're pointing out that I left them off the bucket list. That was a story I wrote for the Arizona Republic that ran in late December and was just 12 iconic experiences that I think every Arizonan should have. And should, if you haven't done it, plan on having it in 2019. But that's the thing with this kind of story. I could write a completely different list next week.
And it's, you know, hard, I mean, there's, to narrow another it down. Way,
there's just so many great things to do in Arizona throughout and stuff.
You can't experience this list without first getting a copy of Roger Naylor's Boots and Burgers book. Tell us about putting this book together, and then we'll talk about using the book while you experience the things in Arizona on your 2012.
Nice. I like that idea.
2019 list.
Well, Boots and Burgers is my dream book. That's my love letter to Arizona, disguised as a hiking and dining guide, because that's my favorite day of all. That's the best day you can have as far as I'm concerned. You get out and you hike and you hike and you hike for miles and miles. You work off a few calories, and then you stop at some little diner on the way back home, and you order a big juicy burger, and you pack the calories right back on again. I admire the zen-like simplicity of it all. It's a beautiful day, and then you're home and enjoying your evening on your porch watching the sunset, or having dinner with a wife, or cause I used to do a little backpacking more when I was younger. Now I'm much more of a day hiker. You know, I just like to get out and hike during the day, but I enjoy my comforts in the evening, and that's what the Boots and Burgers book is about. But also it's to get you out exploring, the same with the bucket list, to get you out exploring different corners, because I include all these little sidebars about great museums when you're in an area, state parks, scenic drives, that sort of thing. So there's all these little tidbits. So not only are if you're driving out to Kingman to hike a trail, what else is there to see in Kingman? Here's a place to eat, but here's also some other things to see and do around there and stuff. So that's what the whole book, it's a road trip Bible.
Well, we have used it extensively. Rose and I love to do that sort of day. You hike for the day, and then you find some really great little local place.
They're all mom and pop places.
And if you don't know the area, just look for the number of cars out front, right?
Exactly.
But otherwise, you can use your book. Yeah. So we've used it and had a really great time. Our favorite has been Satchmo's so far up in Flagstaff.
Oh. That's a great little spot. Cajun and barbecue. Mm-hmm. What a wonderful combination.
How can you lose?
I know it.
So we start off with having a drink at the Palace Saloon. For anybody that's not familiar with the Palace, and maybe new to Arizona, or you never made it quite past Black Canyon City.
You got to get up to Prescott. They've got a street there, which is any street named Whiskey Row. Come on, that's just a great street name to begin with. But the Prescott used to be the territorial capital of Arizona, and it was a wild, rowdy town. There are so many saloons there. The Palace is the oldest existing saloon still in Arizona. So much history there. And it has got one of the great all-time drinking stories. Back in the day, you know, all these towns burnt to the ground several times, because that's what happens when you have candles and drunks in the same room.
And not exactly a standard building code.
Exactly. So the Whiskey Row was on fire around the turn of the century, and they wanted to save, the patrons of the Palace wanted to save the big 1880s Brunswick bar they had in there, so they carried it out into the street, across the street to the courthouse there, and sat on the lawn and kept throwing back the shots of hoots. They just
and watching
kept
it burn
drinking,
down.
Watching it burn. So you got to love that drinking story. But the Palace reopened the very next year, rebuilt, and it's been open ever since. Was kind of seedy there for a while, but a few years ago, new owners took over and really restored it to its historic glory. And, you know, there's been, if you've ever seen the Junior Bonner movie with Steve McQueen, shot many scenes in the Palace. There's been several other films made there. And it's just a great part of Arizona history. You know, you drink where Wyatt Earp and Virgil Earp and Doc Holliday drank and stuff. So,
and I do, they've got a big poster of Junior Bonner and Steve McQueen, yep. And he's carrying the saddle. I like sitting around that corner. It's kind of close to the restroom, so you get that traffic. But from that angle is kind of where the camera was on the dance scene when it was overlooking
nice.
The crowd in that movie. You just kind of, you almost can sit there and feel like you've gone back in time 50 years.
Right. That's what the Palace is. It's a time capsule, you know, so you can kind of revisit any era that you want there.
And in your book, Boots and Burgers, I learned about a new burger place in Prescott. I had never, right off of Whiskey Row, Brown Bag Burger.
Brown Bag Burger.
Right up on Sheldon Street.
Yeah. They make some really good burgers, too. There's a couple great ones in Prescott that I've included in the book. Bill's Grill there and the Brown Bag, and you know, some beautiful hiking trails. Prescott's done a really great job of adding all these new hiking trails. In fact, they've got the Prescott Circle Trail that's just been completed a couple years ago. I would have certainly mentioned that in my book, but it wasn't finished then. But it's
so
54 miles.
Can I help
around.
You with the second edition?
You bet. Absolutely. I'll appoint you my burger deputy. We'll go out, we'll hike, we'll eat.
Team Rosie
Write
on
a
the
book.
House.
Yeah.
We're on it.
The one you do mention in the book is the Salida Gulch Trail. That sounds like a pretty nice one-day.
It is. It's a really nice little trail. It's a fairly easy. Takes you through some lovely woods. You pass some old petroglyphs. And then it takes you up on a nice ridge line. You have some great views of the mountains there, down the Bradshaws and Granite Mountain and Thumb Butte and stuff. And, you're back in time for a burger.
Moving south, number two on the list, we go to Karcher Caverns.
If you've never been to Karcher Caverns, it's a state park. It's one of the most amazing places that I've ever been. It's if you turn the Grand Canyon inside out, you've got Karcher Caverns. It's like walking into the chambers of a beating heart. It's this wet living cave, which is something so different most people never get to experience. And it was discovered by these two young cavers that, you know, found a little blowhole about the size of a grapefruit, and they kind of chipped away at it, made it about the size of a volleyball, slithered in, discovered this pristine cave that nobody had ever been in, and they kept it secret for years and years. And they finally took the Karcher family, it's on their ranch, they finally took them into their confidence after they'd done a lot of research about them, and they all realized that, you know, they needed to keep it protected, otherwise it would get trashed by people finding stuff. So they brought the state parks people in. They blindfolded state officials before they'd take them out there, drove them out around so they wouldn't know where it was. And it's down in the Whetstones Mountains, a little south of Benson there. But then it opened as a state park. It's one of the few caves that's a wet living cave. You go through these NORAD-style airlock doors to get in to help keep down the humidity and stuff. And it's one of the few caves that's actually wheelchair accessible. They've got the path that takes you through. And it's just a gorgeous experience. Water still dripping. You hear it. You smell, you know, the humidity's there. It's just a really amazing experience to be in. And here's one journey that a lot of people don't know. You can also take once a week. I think it's on either Friday evening or Saturday evening. It's on the website. But you can take a helmet and headlamp tour. So you go in after they turn off all the lights, and you go in just wearing your little headlight and seeing everything like that, kind of as the cavers did. So it's really cool.
It is quite popular. Call ahead. And I think you do need
tickets.
I don't think you can just walk up. It's amazing.
Make reservations for any of the tours, you know, just plan on. But they give the regular tours throughout the day. The headlamp and the helmet and headlamp tours just once a week.
On State Park's website, they have a video of the guys that discovered that cave and them talking about just this little tiny crack in the rock and feeling a draft. And they knew something was big behind there. But it took them like hours to just
You to stick your body through a slice in the ground?
That's
what cavers do.
And while you're there, we've got a couple Boots and Burgers Trail, the Cochise Trail Sunsets. That one.
Oh, I love
the
Cochise Trail.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's just an incredible trail up through the Dragoons there. Just one of the most impressive mountain ranges that we have. Just these upright boulders, all these shapes and faces. And, of course, this was the stronghold of the Apache chieftain Cochise. And this is where legend has it. It takes you up to Cochise Stronghold, one of his favorite places. And legend has it he's buried somewhere in these cliffs, and his braves ran over the ground with horses so his grave could never be found again stuff. But it's just incredible, spectacular country. You climb up there on this high ridge of mountains, and you look across the valley, and you can actually see Fort Huachuca. So you understand why the Apaches were so difficult. They could see the soldiers 2 days before they could actually get to the mountains and stuff. So
talk about feeling history. Yeah. You know, being out there in the middle of nowhere, just trying to picture all that going on.
Great, great mountain range, the Dragoons. Now, you had mentioned earlier you're going to get in trouble with Wickenburg. We're going to get in trouble with the rest of this list because we were supposed to get through number five in this segment. We're over our break. We've only gotten to two. We've missed the La Posada and Winslow. The Verde Valley, the Verde Canyon Railroad out of Camp Verde, and the Hubble Trading Post up on the res. So we'll hit a couple of those and make up a little time.